Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Avi Heller and together we're studying Masechet Megillah. This series is a project of the Orthodox Union Synagogue Services Department, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are today going to finish our first Daf. We're going to finish Daf Bet of Megillah. We are about four lines down from where the lines get wide in the Gemara at the very end of the line. We've been discussing the idea of walled cities. And we are now going to bring in an opposing viewpoint. In our Mishnah, we said that a walled city is defined as a city that's been walled since the time of Yoshua ben Nun. In other words, basically from the time of Moshe. I don't know why it doesn't say from the time of Moshe, but it doesn't. But that is the opinion of our Mishnah. However, there is another opinion that we're going to see right now that defines a walled city's history slightly differently. Matnitin, delo ki haitana. Our Mishnah does not go according to this sage that we're about to quote. Tana is a sage of the Mishnah. Ditanya, as we learned in a Braita, it was taught in a Braita, which is a source that is similar to a Mishnah, but not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, Krachina mukafin choma, cities that are surrounded by a wall, Mimot Achashverosh, from the time of Achashverosh, Korin v'chamisha asar, they read the Megillah on the 15th. We had said only cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Now on its face, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's opinion makes a lot of sense because his idea is that it should be related to the time of the Purim story. So any city that was walled at the time of the Purim story reads on the 15th, just like Shushan. So there's a lot of to me, it makes a lot of sense what Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says. The Gemara wants to dive into this a little. So it begins with this abbreviation that we've had a few times and we'll have a few more times, Mem Tet. My Taima, what is the reasoning to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha answers, Ki Shushan. It's just like Shushan. Ma Shushan mukefet choma mimot achashverosh. Just like Shushan is surrounded by a wall from the time of Achashverosh, probably a little earlier than that, but we know from that time. The Korin v'chamisha asar, and it is read, the Megillah is read in Shushan on the 15th, which is what we established in yesterday's shir. Af kol shem mukefer choma mimot Achashverosh, so too any city that was walled from the time of Achashverosh, Korin v'chamisha asar, should also read on the 15th. I think that's a very sensible argument. V'tana didan my taima. Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha gave us his answer. What about our Tana, the one in the Mishnah, who says that they have to be walled from the time of Yehoshua? Yalif, he derives it prazi prazi. Now, here we get into a complicated topic. What it looks like is that our Tana wants to make what's called a gzera shava between the word prazi, as it is found in the Megillah, and the word prazi as it's found in the Torah. And it is one of the techniques of deriving halacha from the text of the Torah, called the hermeneutical rules, that you can create such a pipeline between two words in different contexts that are the same word. And once you create that pipeline, some of the halachot can flow from one word to the other word, from one context to the other context, and vice versa. And there are a lot of examples in this in the Torah. The only problem is that this cannot be, as Rashi points out, a real gzera shava, because it is deriving from a verse in Ketuvim, in the writings, the Megillah, to a verse in the Torah, and that's not usually done. And also, it doesn't seem like he has fulfilled all of the criteria for a gzera shava. It's not said in the name of a teacher, and there are other potential problems here. So it is some kind of a teaching, but it does not seem to be an authoritative gzera shava. Nonetheless, he moves ahead with it. Ketiv hacha, it's written here in the Megillah, Alkena Yehudima Prazim, the Jews who live in the outlying cities, the ones without walls. Uchtiv Hatam, and it's written there in the book of Devarim. It's Devarim Perek Gimel Pasukei. It's talking about Moshe and Yoshua conquering the cities before they get to the land of Israel. And it says they conquered a bunch of cities. Levad me'arei ha-prazi harbe me'od, except for the outlying cities that there were many of that were in the countryside. So we have here an example of a word that's a very uncommon word, prazi, used once related to Yoshua and Moshe, and once in the Megillah. So we're going to compare the two. Now we have some textual problems here, so follow me carefully. Ma lehalan, just like there. Now the next two words, mukhefet choma, put a parenthesis around them. They come out according to Rashi. So we're just going to skip them. Ma lehalan mimot Yoshua bin Nun, because it doesn't make sense to put them in, because these cities are unwalled cities. So how can you say they're walled cities? They're not walled cities. Ma lehalan mimot Yoshua bin Nun, just like there, these cities were outlying cities from the time of Yoshua bin Nun. Afkan, so to here, take out the next two words, mukefet choma, put a parenthesis around them. We're going to skip them. Afkan, next line, mimot Yoshua bin Nun. So since we have this connection between outlying cities, and it's really the only places in the Tanakh that these things are mentioned, we are going to say that that is the chronology. A city has to be walled from the time of Yoshua bin Nun. And there are a lot of problems with this derivation if we were going to do a deeper dive into this Gemara. And we had the time, we could try to sort out exactly how this proof works. But we'll have to put a pin in it for now. Bishlama Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Now this word Bishlama, it doesn't exactly mean it works out fine, but that's how we say it. Everything makes sense to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Lo amar ketana didan. Why doesn't he say like Artana? Why does he disagree with Artana? Delaytle prezi prezi. It makes sense. He doesn't hold by this teaching connecting the word prezi in the Megillah with the word prezi in the Torah. Either he doesn't know that teaching or he doesn't like that teaching. Ela, however, Tana didan, our Tana, my Taima, that abbreviation again, Memtet, my Taima, what's the reason? Lo amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Why doesn't he say like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? My time? Oh, the Gemara doesn't like this question. What do you mean? What's the reason? Ta'itle prezi prezi. He has his own teaching. Prezi prezi. What does he have to hold like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha for? Hachi ka'amar. Rather, say it like this. Ela Shushan. What about Shushan? De'avdinan kiman. Who should Shushan do it like? Lo kiprazim ve'lo kimukafin. We now have a problem. According to our Tana, only cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua bin Nun, or read the Megillah on the 15th. However, Shushan, we have a tradition, or it's implied here in the Gemara, is not that old. It did not have a wall in the time of Yoshua bin Nun. It only had a wall to the time of Achashverosh. So according to the reasoning of our Tana, Shushan should read on the 14th, not the 15th. At the same time, we know that Shushan didn't finish defeating their enemies until the 15th. So what are they going to do in Shushan? Amar Rava, said Rava, the Amri La Kiddi, and some people say it was in the name of this a sage named Kiddi, or some people say that they don't know who the sage was, and so they called him Kiddi as a placeholder. Shiny Shushan, the word shiny means it's different. Shani Shushan, Shushan is different. Hoel Venasa Bones, because in Shushan, that's where the miracle happened. So it is its own category. We have cities that are walled, cities that are unwalled. Yes, we have villages also. And then we have Shushan, which is in its own category. And even though it doesn't fit into any of the above categories, because the miracle of Purim happened on the 15th in Shushan, of course the people of Shushan would have to read on the 15th. One of the questions is whether or not we know where the city of Shushan is. It's somewhere in Iraq, and there is a city in Iraq called Susa. I have not looked into this question, but I'm sure there's someone that has. Okay. Bishlama. This makes sense, litana didan, for our Tana. Hainu dichtiv, because I'm going to quote you a verse that seems to support our Tana. Medina umdina, the ir va'ir. When Achashverosh's letter was sent out, it was sent out to every province and every city. Now, when it says every province and every city, it says the word twice. Medina umdina. And when it says every city, it says it twice. The ir va'ir. So, of course, being the way the rabbis act, they want to know is, what do I need the repetition for? What are we trying to say about these two, about repeating this word twice? So the rabbis answer, the Gemara answers, Medina umdina lechalek, that we are trying to make a distinction between two types of provinces. Bein mukafin choma mimot Yoshua bin Nun. One Medina refers to cities that were walled from the time of Yeshua bin Nun, and they read the Megillah on the 15th. L'mukefet choma miot Achashverosh, to walled cities that were only walled from the time of Achashverosh, and they don't count. They read on the 14th.
Ir va'ir nami l'chalek, and the repetition of the word ir, city, is also coming to distinguish between two things. Bein Shushan, between the city of Shushan, which reads on the 15th, l'shar ayarot, and any other cities, all other cities read on the 14th. So according to our Tana, we have a good distinction between both Medina, and ir. Ela, however, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. What about Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Bishlama, it makes sense for him. Medina umdina lechalek. He can make a good distinction between the word Medina and Medina. Now here we have another textual emendation problem, and you got to hold on to your hats here because it's not so easy. Medina umdina lechalek bein. Now we're going to have to take out the next three words. It says Shushan l'shar ayarot. That reading is a very difficult reading. It doesn't really make sense. So we put parentheses around it. Rashi tells us to take it out. And Rashi has an alternative reading. So after we put the parentheses around Shushan l'shar ayarot, we got to go down to Rashi. Because none of these words are going to appear in our Gemara. Now the Rashi is on the bottom left, two lines up in the skinny lines. And here's what Rashi says. You have to read it in the Rashi, two lines up. Hachi garsinan. Here is the proper girsa. This is the proper text. Ella l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, bishlama medina umdina, he can make a good distinction between the first use of the word medina and the second use of the word medina, l'chalek bein, to make a distinction between mukafin choma mimot Achashverosh, cities that have been walled from the time of Achashverosh, l'she'ein mukafin mimot Achashverosh, to those cities who were not, who have not had walls between the times of Achashverosh. So he makes a great distinction between Medina and Medina. Now we got to go back up to the Gemara, because we got all of that, none of those words, that whole line, is inserted by Rashi and does not appear in our Gemara text. Ela, ir ve'ir, but what about distinguishing between city and city? L'mayata, what's he going to do about that? He doesn't have a good distinction to make between city and city. However, instead of going on the defense and trying to answer the question, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, in the hands of the rabbis of the Gemara, goes on the offense. Amar lech Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, Uletana didan, to our Tana, minicha, who says it works? Meaning, you're accusing my interpretation of not working, but who says it works according to your interpretation? I can throw the question back in your face. Kevan de itle prazi prazi, since you learned about what the definition of a walled city is from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, from this teaching of prazi prazi, the two words, midinam dina lamali. What do you need midinam dina? You don't have to distinguish between two different kinds of provinces. You already learned that from prazi prazi. So the Gemara basically concludes that neither opinion is going to work to fully answer this pasuk. They're both falling short in explaining both of them. So instead, the Gemara says, "Elakra l'drasha hu da'ata." Instead, we're going to use this verse for a different kind of teaching, a teaching that's unrelated to what we've been talking about. Uchad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, hu da'ata is how it comes. To Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Krach." V'chol ha-samuch lo, v'chol ha-nir'a imo, nidon kikrach. Let's take that word by word. A krach, a city, v'chol ha-samuch lo, and everything that is adjacent to that city, v'chol ha-nir'a imo, and anything that is within visual eyeshot of that city, nidon kikrach, is considered as a city. So you might think that it's only the people who live inside the walls of the city that are judged as part of the city. But if there's a field or a house right outside the city walls, that's still considered to be part of the city limits. And if there's a house that's a mile away on a hilltop, but it's within eyeshot of the city, it's also considered part of the city. So the city isn't just inside the walls, it includes city limits as well. And the Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit later on in our chapter. So Gemara asks, Ad kama, how far are the city limits? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya said, V'itema, and some say in the name of Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Kimecha matan l'Tveria mil. Like the distance between the hot springs and Tveria is 1 mil. So Tveria up in the north of Israel had these beautiful hot springs that were just outside the city, and you could walk a mile from your city, from the city into the hot springs and back. So it wasn't right next door, but you know they didn't have shuttle buses. So a mile is 2,000 amot, which is somewhere in the vicinity of about 2/3 of a mile. So it wasn't a huge hike, but it was a little bit of a walk to get out to the hot springs, and that's how far a mile is. And you can basically draw a circumference of a mile around the city, and that's how far the city limits extend. So the Gemara asks, "Velema mil? Why didn't you just say a mil? What did you have to tell me this whole story about Tveria? Unless you live in Tveria, who cares?" Ha kamashmalan. Kamashmalan is a very important word. We see it all the time. It introduces a authoritative proof. Kamashmalan. It comes to teach us. We come to learn from this. De shiura de mil kamahavu. How far is a mil? Kimechamatan le Tveria. From the hot springs to Tiberias. So in those days, they did not have very good tools for measuring. Measuring was a very imprecise business. They did not have atomic clocks and digital, you know, ways of measuring things. So they had to estimate. And one of the ways that they would estimate frequently was to find an example in the real world that could serve as the arbiter, like this, you know, the stick that is a foot long. And so in this case, a mil was defined as the distance between Tveria and the hot springs, and that could always be used as the way of measuring a mil. A person could measure how far that took them or how long it took them to walk that and use that as a measurement in other places. So it brings it here. Now, at this point, our Gemara has not really reached a conclusion as to who has won this battle. We don't know if Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, who says that walled cities only have to be walled since the Purim story, the time of Achashverosh, is right, or if Artana, who says that the cities have to be walled since the time of Yoshua ben Nun, is right. And basically, the Gemara is now going to go on a digression, because since we started talking about Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the Gemara is now going to bring a number of different unrelated teachings of Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba that don't have anything to do with Purim or the Megillah. Now, if you're memorizing this Gemara and it's an oral tradition, so this is an easy way to remember that when you get up to talking about Rabbi Yirmiya, you have all of his teachings in a row. For us, it represents kind of a digression. We're now going to stop talking about Purim and Megillah reading and start talking about other things for a little while before we come back to our related topic. So for that reason, we're going to stop now, three lines from the bottom of the daf, and we'll pick up with a new topic at the beginning of our next installment. But basically, except for 2.5 lines, congratulations, we finished our first daf of Megillah, and looking forward to moving on to the second one. Have a great day.